You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
And inspired by the character of God, the heart of God, and really see God's heart. I'm going to use an illustration that I hope people do not struggle with. And if you could pull up that illustration. There's an ancient philosophy, Asian philosophy, about yin and yang, and it's 3rd century BC. And it talks about how two polar opposites work together, a synergy to act as a whole. And please, I am not teaching Asian philosophy, okay? Let me make that clear. I want to say I'm getting a million phone calls saying, what is this brother teaching? You know, no. But I want to use the symbol as an illustration to make the connection between grace and mercy. Because grace and mercy are two different things, and I want to make that little connection through the symbol. My favorite thing on this is oil and vinegar, right? That's why I love oil and vinegar, and you got salt and pepper, but you got a lot of different things, male, female. But this is not, God invented this concept. Next slide, please. The very first thing God created was water. Very first thing. The Bible says that the earth was formless and it was this massive glob of water and the Spirit hovered over it. And oxygen needs two electrons. So two hydrogens come along and said, we'll meet that need. They come together. Oxygen and hydrogen work together to be what we need to sustain life here on earth. Actually, water actually plays a part in our salvation also through the waters of baptism. And it's just so cool how God kind of thought that through and created that. But we also have this concept in our relationships. Next slide, please. Yeah, what do you think this is? Parent and children. Parents and children, yeah. So that's not so encouraging, because, this parent must be struggling. You need to go clean your room or something. And I don't know if that's a teen or preteen or young teen. I don't know. I see the rolling of the eyes. I'm assuming teen or something, But, parents and children, we give and take. We make the family unit together. And it takes a lot of work to maintain that harmony. Next slide. Who do you think this is? Husband and wife. Now, it takes a lot of work for a husband and wife to maintain this synergy, the unity. God has brought two together, this is somewhat of a bliss illustration. We know that God has designed our marriage to be a beautiful union. And, it looks like the husband was doing a honey-do list or something, He's holding the hammer backwards, so I don't know if this illustration is a little inaccurate. It looks like she's cooking too or something, but we know that it's never that easy. It takes us to give, and it takes us to receive. Next slide. This kind of is an illustration I was hoping to convey and communicate. It's how in the heart of God's love is His grace and mercy. That grace and that mercy work together. And it's a powerful force. And we see it all over the place. This, I'm just scratching the surface here. To study out grace and mercy, that takes years. It's like studying out pride and all this other stuff. It's like it's something we pray for. We ask God, help me understand Your grace. Help me to see Your mercy. Help me understand it. And in Psalm 103... it's such a powerful passage, and it kind of really shows the heart of God, and it sums up His grace and mercy. Let's read it together. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love of those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And this really just such a great illustration. I'm going to talk about three things. How grace pours out, how mercy holds back, and how grace gives, and how mercy forgives. And how grace remembers, and how mercy forgets. And we're going to just look at these scriptures. But when you look at Psalm 103, it really sums up, like, and this is just one scripture, the heart of God. Grace, this is a great thing. A brother who passed away, just a dear brother of mine, one of my best friends, he taught me this. And I'll never forget, it stuck in my head. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. And mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. In Psalm 103, we see it so clear how God separates us from our sin. That's how amazing our Father is in heaven. And so in this time of year, we want to imitate that grace and that mercy and that heart towards one another. So for the first point, grace pours out and mercy holds back. You know, that's just such an amazing characteristic of God's heart. Grace is what pours out, mercy holds back. And we need that. We need it all the time in our life. Second point is grace gives and mercy forgives. In Matthew 20, in verse 8 through 16, I would like to read this. Grace comes from the generosity, out of the generosity of God's heart. And mercy comes out of the compassion of God's heart. And they work together to display his powerful, amazing love in our lives. Matthew 20, verse 8 through 16. And I'm just going to go through this. This is the story of the workers. And so the vineyard owner goes and he picks up some guys, some laborers, early in the morning. And then he picks up the same amount of people in the afternoon. But yet we see that they all get paid the same denarius. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The workers who hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you gave the men who, he said, and you made them equal to us who bore the burden of work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, am I not being unfair to you? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who hired last the same I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. You know, the word generous is agathos. It's good, virtuous, perfect morality. God is good. And because God is good, perfect morality, he pours out. He gives. Our Father is a giver, and we want to imitate that. Some practicals during this time of year. Give grace and give. Give when you don't feel like giving. Stop and think, when has somebody given to me? That happens, right? Reflect and give. Sharing your faith. We give the good news to people. It's our heart to give to them because we know that people are lost, harassed, and helpless. And it's out of the generosity to want to give and share the good news. Don't hold back. Don't be stingy with grace. Pour out. You know, my amazing wife always gives me a honey-do list. And it doesn't help being a carpenter. My honey-do list is like this, you know. Carrie and Dimitri, our honey-do list is like this. Now, she's amazing. My wife, it's just, I just want to serve her. It's like, you know, I want to just give to her and serve. Brothers, sisters, to your spouse, to your children, don't hold back. There's need, give, serve. I'm so grateful for my wife. My wife is a huge blessing in my life. God gave me my precious wife. You know, such a special gift. And I'm so crazy about her. You know, it's like a list does not make me struggle. Although I still have to deny myself. You know, it's like, it's not easy. It's like, honey, you know, like I just had a long day. You know, it's like, but she doesn't nag. She's so amazing. She's not a nagger. So, you know, it helps a lot. You know, I'm so grateful for the gift of my spouse. I want to encourage you husbands and wives to really reflect on that gift that God gave you. That gift came from God, handpicked from the Lord. You know, I'm so grateful for my wife. I remember the movie, The Time Machine, H.G. Wells. That was one of my favorite movies growing up, watching that movie. And to this day, I would fantasize having a time machine. What would I do? Go back. What would I change? You know, go back to when I was a preteen. I'd become a disciple, you know. But I know one thing. If I ever had that opportunity to go back in time, I'd find Miss Sue Fentzel. Because there's no other woman for me, even in a new time. You know, I'd find her and I'd seek out the kingdom. I'd ride my bike to church and I'd sit in her preteen class. Yeah. And just look for the right time to ask her to be my wife. She would think I'm some creepy kid, but, you know, it's like... that your wife, your husband is a gift. Your children, they're gifts. Cherish them. Grace gives. Amen? Mercy forgives. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. At the time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain to eat and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read the law of the Sabbath? The priests in the temple desecrated the day and yet are innocent. I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not condemn the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." You know, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." This is not unfamiliar to the Israelites. It's been prophesied and taught throughout all the New Testament, multiple scriptures, that God still wants to teach the heart of the matter, not the ritual of the matter. It's so important to understand that. Pharisees were so quick to condemn and slow to reflect. And that's something to think about. You know, I read that scripture because it's important to understand that, yes, what we do is important, but if we don't have our hearts right, it's a waste of time. You know, we have to get our hearts right in all of our action. I want to go a little bit deeper and spend just a couple minutes on this concept of mercy and compassion. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to refer to Mark 6. And it says, you know, Jesus landed and saw the large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. And that's in Mark 6. In Mark 8, "I have compassion on those people. They have already been with me 3 days. They have nothing to eat." Okay, splanchnomai is the Greek word for compassion. It's to be moved. It's that emotion to be moved, to have pity, to pour out your heart. The word means to feel and suffer with. You could do that. We have a lot of compassionate people here. You could see somebody's circumstance and have compassion on them. But there's a distinction between compassion and mercy. Okay, Matthew 18, verse 21. "Then the master called the servant." You wicked servant, I said. This is the parable of the unmerciful servant. And that's just a horrible title to have in the Bible. But the unmerciful servant, where he's been forgiven of all his debts, and then he'll go to his servant, and he's choking them to pay up his debt. He just forgets the mercy that he received. And in verse 32 it says, "Then the master called the servant, and you wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Soon you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you." In anger, his master sent him to jail. In verse 35, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and your sister from your heart." Grace gives, mercy forgives. You know, the root word of forgive is perdonar, okay, which means to give completely without reservation, the Latin word. That's where we get our word pardon, to give completely. Mercy, the difference between mercy and compassion is you can be a compassionate person and yet still be unmerciful. You can look at somebody's circumstance and situation and feel for them, have pity on them, okay? And even have some action plan. But when it comes down to mercy, it's the same compassion, but it's against somebody who offended you and hurt you. It's different. You could look at somebody who did no wrong to you and have that pity and have that compassion. But can you provide and give the same compassion to someone who offends you, to someone who hurts you and sins against you? That's why Jesus makes it very clear. Because right before this, they're talking about forgiveness. How many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus says 77 times. Peter says 7? 77. He has to go into this lesson about giving mercy. If you don't forgive from the heart, it's not forgiveness. See, forgive, to give before. So when you forgive, you have to first give in your heart and then provide the compassion. I think it's a powerful concept for us to think about and reflect. And think about how we ourselves need mercy. We need to give mercy because we have received mercy. Amen? And third point is grace remembers, mercy forgets. In Isaiah 49, in verse 13 through 16, "Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she had born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." Isn't that a powerful scripture about the heart and love of God? He created you, a piece of God, to create your soul. You are his child, and he will never forget that day. He'll never forget that you are precious and cherished. And we go through life, and we live life, and we make our mistakes, and we fall, and our Father will never forget us. He will teach us, he will discipline us, he'll set us up for a victory, he will not enable us, but he will never forget us. That is from the grace of God. That is a gift that he will never, ever forget. Amen? Some practicals. Recall on the grace that you've received. Remember, go back. That's something that'll help you when it's a challenge and a struggle. To give grace. Remember, go back. You know, it's like single households. There was a lot of grace and mercy in the single households that I lived in. I was 9 years in single households. And great memories. I would never change it for anything. It was just great times. But boy, I remember my mom made this amazing pasta and meatballs, spaghetti and meatballs. And her spaghetti and meatballs were the best. And she gave me this big bowl, and it went right in the fridge. I came back to eat it, and it was gone. What a struggle. If you know me, you know me. I was struggling that day. My mom's pasta and the meatballs, it was gone. Which of you brothers ate my pasta? I had to stop and remember when I ate Paul's pizza. I had to stop and remember when I ate Roberto Mendez's rice and beans. If you don't see the plank in your eye, it's very hard to give mercy. If you don't see when you receive grace and mercy from the Father and from one another, it's very hard to give it. You need to reflect and always look and see how God has blessed you. Amen? I'm going to read the last scripture. Ushers can start with the communion. This is the last scripture before we do communion. In Hebrews chapter 8. In verse 10, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their wickedness and remember their sins no more. The mercy of the Lord is right there. I will remember their sins no more. God knows when to forget. Do we know when to forget? Do we hold grudges? Do we keep records of wrongs? Something to really think about. We're talking about this because not because we want to preach, be gracious and merciful to one another. We're talking about this because we want to imitate our Father. Right? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's getting our heart right. It's giving with our heart, having the right order of things so that we can be effective and glorify God. Practical is to forget and let things go. It's such a burden to carry. It's such a burden to carry the hurt and remember somebody's sin against you. That's the definition of misery. Be free. Imitate the Lord. Look at what he did. He decided to get rid of the old covenant. He decided to hit the reset button, the hard reset button, through our Lord Jesus Christ by sending his son to die on the cross so that it's going to all now be about knowing the Lord, having an intimate relationship with the Lord. Think about the mercy that we receive from the Father. Next slide. And that's the heart of the cross. Amen? The heart of the cross is grace and mercy. The love of the Father for all of us. It's his grace and mercy that is completely displayed on the cross as Jesus pours out his heart and his blood. As God holds back what we deserve. Death, destruction. Miserable life, you know, condemnation. We don't receive that in Christ because of the cross. At the cross, we see how generous God is. He gives us his son, and then he goes the extra distance. He goes above and beyond and puts it through torture. That's how generous God is. And he's compassionate. He sees how we're harassed, lost, helpless. I need to have a plan. I'm going to give my son, and I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to sacrifice my son. At the cross, he remembers the creation of you. He will never forget the creation of you. The part of you that's not the flesh, but the non-flesh, the spirit. And he forgets all of our sins and transgressions. Who can tell a better love story than God? Is there a better love story that any man has ever written other than the love story of the cross? For me, I look at the stars and I look at God's creation, and for me it builds my faith. It's very clear that God is real. But there's nothing more clear to me than the story of the cross, that there's a God. There's no man that could come up with this plan. There's no way man can come up with that level of grace and mercy. It has to be a perfect, pure, holy Father that did it. And so it builds my faith. And as we take our communion, we stop and reflect on how God has poured out his heart to us, how God has given us grace and mercy to no end, infinite. And it all starts at the cross. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for his birth and his death and resurrection. This time of year, Father, as we give gifts to one another, I pray that we can imitate you and give grace and mercy to one another and forgive one another from the heart. Help us to see our planks in our eyes. Help us to see how we receive so much from you as we give to one another this year. We thank you for this time to stop and reflect, to say thank you for the cross, the sacrifice that was made. Pray for the bread that represents the broken body of Jesus, and the juice that represents the blood that was poured out. We could take this time to say thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.